In seventh grade, I was invited to Al Azzaro's birthday party. He was 13. It was the first event to which I was invited to which he had to take a date. I had to ask some girl to go with me. I cheated. I arranged for Bobby Gilmartin to go with my sister Mary, and I would go with his sister Mary. I don't think the arrangement even required that I speak to Mary Gilmartin before my mother drove us over to pick them up. The party was held in the basement at Al Azzaro's house, big house on Overland Road. There was music, Johnny and Joe, Little Richard. Every now and then, Mr. or Mrs. Azzaro would come to the top of the stairs with a platter of food, and somebody would go up and get that. And there was probably dancing, but I don't remember that because we were into a game I'd never heard before called Post Office. This game required that everyone be given a number, and that night the boys all had even numbers and the girls had odd numbers. I don't remember my number, but Margie Ferranti was number one, Evelyn Scott was number three, and Lois Leiser was number 15. They got a lot of mail. Fairly early in the game, my number was called, and it was explained that I would go into the laundry room and close the door, and the girl who had called my number would be in there, and we would kiss. So I went into the laundry room, and there was Janice McGartland. I'd known Janice McGartland all my life. She was one of the McGartland kids. Jeannie, Jerry, Janice, Julie and Pat, the twins. Emmy Lou, Tony, Michael, Nancy, and Grace. Like all the McGartland kids, Janice had very, very pale white skin with trillions of little cinnamon-colored freckles. She was a trim little girl in a plaid dress that night. And I was nervous. I said, "Where would you like it?" And she pointed to a place up on her cheekbone and said, "This would be nice." So I leaned forward and I placed my kiss in a little archipelago of cinnamon freckles. And our turn was over. A little later, there was some horseplay over by the laundry room, and somebody threw open the laundry room door during a turn, and I looked in, and there was Janice McGartland again, this time with Bobby Kisheva. And Bobby had his left arm around her waist and his right arm sort of circling her shoulders. She was inclined back about 20 degrees. And Bobby was putting his kiss right on her mouth. Now, every kid at this party was a student at Our Lady of the Most Blessed Sacrament School. We were all being taught by the Ursuline Sisters of East Liberty. So it's not my personal retardation was not the nun's fault or the church's fault. And it was not that I knew nothing at all about kissing. I knew three things. Kissing was something your mother or your Aunt Charlotte could do to you. It was a duty thing. Kissing happened in the movies, Elizabeth Taylor and Rock Hudson, but their kissing had about as much to do with my life as anything else in the movies had to do with my life. But then, kissing had an abstract reality for me. It was an idea. I had a sense that a kiss was the gesture that you used to show someone you were in love with them. I hadn't thought through why that particular gesture had been chosen for that communication. But I was quite sure that somewhere out in the foggy future, I would kiss someone to deliver that message. And I had my eyes on Antonia Gentlecore, who lived about a block from me on my paper route. But Antonia Gentlecore was not at this party because she was in fifth grade. And there's no way a seventh grade boy and a fifth grade girl can be seen together. I had thought about it, you know, in my quiet moments delivering papers, and I had done the math. Seventh grade and fifth grade just does not compute. I looked ahead, eighth, sixth, that was no better. Ninth, seventh, that's worse. 10, 8, no. But just maybe, if you could work up the nerve to ask her out, a junior in high school, an 11th grader, maybe could get away with asking out a 9th grader, I thought. And I was pretty sure that as a senior, I could invite Antonia Gentlecore to the prom, and then I would kiss her to let her know how highly I thought of her. My education in all of this might not have proceeded further very fast, except that my number was called again. And I went into the laundry room, and there was Rosemary Blau, a classmate of mine. Rosemary was a girl known mostly for goodness. She was good. A well-behaved, polite, soft-spoken, generous girl. The nuns were crazy about her. And she had long, brown, curly hair and big, sort of soulful brown eyes. And Rosemary Blau had braces, serious braces, with a double band on top and a band on the bottom, and individual teeth wrapped in metal jackets and hooks and rubber bands. And it was my job to kiss her. And it flashed through my mind that it might hurt to be kissed with all that metal in your mouth. But Rosemary put her right hand up on my cheek and she said, "You hold still, I'll move." And then she put her other hand on my other cheek and she moved forward very slowly. She feathered down. The landing took a week. And then she moved side to side. She was in no hurry at all, very gently, while the universe and all its meanings reorganized themselves. At 12, I had a system of values. I had priorities. But I know that that night, well, mashed potatoes and gravy were never going to have the same place in my life. My mom picked us up, and I could not stop talking all the way home about what a great party this had been. This was just a fantastic experience. I don't know what happened to Mary Gilmartin. Her dad worked for Gulf Oil. They moved to Texas. I don't know where she is, but I know that she is not tonight standing on a stage somewhere telling strangers what a good time she had at Al Azzaro's 13th birthday party.